The second season of Rings of Power, the Lord of the Rings prequel, is underway. The first three episodes are on Prime Video now, but NPR critic Glenn Weldon has seen the entire season already, and he is here to tell us about what we can expect from all of these new episodes. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Scott.
I have a lot personally riding on how this conversation is going to go, because I love Lord of the Rings, but I had a lot of mixed thoughts about season one. How's season two?
Well, tell me about those thoughts, because that's going to determine what I tell you about season two. What do you think of season one?
I thought that there was a lot of, like, could this person be exactly who you think it is? And then they would stretch that out for, like, six episodes. But it looked beautiful.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you that they learned some lessons. They didn't. I mean, there are some storylines that zip along, but there's a lot of that faffing around. That's the frustrating part. They keep slow-walking the story, just like in season one. There's a lot of obstacles introduced that don't need to be introduced, a lot of conflict that doesn't make any sense to stretch things out over eight episodes, right? But really, and I think you'd understand this, Scott, at the end of the day, we're back in Middle-earth, right? It looks great. They're throwing a lot of money at this screen. And, you know, an eight-year-old kid reading these books would never have thought I'd ever see Numenor, the island kingdom of Numenor, on the screen. So when the show looks this good, you forgive a lot.
That's true. And it's just nice to look at the images a lot of the time. That was one of my favorite parts about. Look, it's been like close to 2 years since the first season aired. Can we briefly recap where exactly we have left off and where this is in the legendarium, if you will?
Sure. Well, I mean, the show is a prequel to The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and it's about how those rings of power were made. So season two picks up with Halbrand, who's played by Charlie Vickers. He has finally admitted that he is the Dark Lord Sauron, which, talk about slow walking, it's a thing we all knew in the episode one.
Who could have seen that coming?
Everybody saw that coming, Scott. So then he and the elven smith Celebrimbor, who's played by Charles Edwards, have just crafted three rings of power for the elves, which the elves hope will allow them to remain in Middle-earth in the first season. Also, we learned how Mordor came to be. That's the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. And that was done by Sauron's one-time Lieutenant Adar, who is now played by Sam Hazeldine, who is taking over the role from season one's Joseph Mali. Here he is.
I was led up to a dark and nameless peak, chained and left. And after what seemed endless thirst and hunger, I saw it, Sauron's face, and it was beautiful.
So yeah, last season, Adar, that guy right there, triggered the volcano Mount Doom, which blackened the sky and turned the region into Mordor, a homeland for orcs and all kinds of evil stuff. And the people who lived there, called the Southlanders, they are now refugees as the season opens.
Look, a lot of people watching this will have read the books, but a lot of people haven't. What does this story do differently? What does the story do on its own uniquely?
Well, they're collapsing the timeline, of course, but the thing is, like nerds like us, we go into this knowing the broad strokes of what needs to happen. It's called the Rings of Power. The rings got to get made. They got to get distributed to elves, dwarves, and men. Sauron has to create the one ring to rule them all, right? And then there has to be a war. And so always seeming on the back burner of people like us is like, get on with it. We know what needs to happen. But that impatience dissolves completely when they do smart things, like introduce a new character like Adar, who's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Or when they capture something that the books could only hint at, like the relationship between that elven smith, Celebrimbor, I mentioned, and Sauron, who this season disguises himself as a kind of messenger of the gods. That storyline is the best thing about this season because it is a story, as the books only touched at. It's a story of seduction. It's a toxic romance, and Sauron is manipulating Celebrimbor to do what he wants, and you can hear that in this clip.
Celebrimbor, are you my friend?
Yes, of course. Why?
Because there is no place for half-truths between those who've worked so close as you and I. And yet, there is much you do not know. Much I want to tell you.
That's some on-screen tension there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, speaking of that, we've got to talk Tom Bombadil for a moment.
Okay. Listeners, take five.
I mean, exactly. He is this character who occupies many pages of the books and has gotten nowhere near a movie or TV screen, possibly because this is how he talks. This is our first scene with Tom Bombadil. Hey, doll, merry doll, ring-a-dong, dillo, ring-a-dong, hop-along, follow-all the willow. Tom Bomb, jolly Tom, Tom Bombadillo.
There you go.
How does that translate to a television show?
oh, man, it's the biggest swing. Because, like, you know, in the books, he doesn't make any sense. He's not meant to. He's supposed to be, like, the embodiment of nature, right? Yeah. And Tolkien has a very strict, you know, cosmology. And Tom Bombadil doesn't fit in it because he's representing basically the English countryside that Tolkien grew up in. He's his own creature. Tolkien goes out of his way to say he doesn't care about the outside world. And that is not true in this series, man. Bombadil is really... he's dialed in. He's played here by British actor Rory Kinnear. He is an emissary of the universe's power that be. He's there expressly to guide another character along their journey of self-discovery. It's the biggest flex in the entire show.
All right. Last question. Let's talk about the rings themselves. You mentioned we now have the three rings for the Elven Kings. How are they looking?
Oh, see, I thought that in the Peter Jackson films, they looked really elegant and kind of sleek and tasteful. But here they are so bulky and so gaudy that they kind of look like ring pops. I mean, you keep imagining that in any given scene, the actors are just going to stop and start sucking away on them. But that may be a me thing.
Glenn Weldon hosts NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.